First of all, I would like to thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to stand before you and to preach the God's word. As well as I want to thank you for Sir Chris and Sir Sammy for giving me an opportunity to preach. And I think tomorrow I will have enough time to share. So I try to not to share much, so that you can still ponder and wonder about our location and our ministry. God willing, tomorrow I will try to share our ministry. For today, let's turn our attention to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Let me read for you. Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The theme of our conference is complete in Christ. Yesterday we heard from Sir Chris that Paul is striving and he is so eager to present every man to complete in Christ. Now here we are, chapter 3, Paul gives the reason why you want to present every man to complete in Christ, because you and me are completely identified with Christ. If you look at the text, we see that few important verses, the whole scripture, this 1 to 4 verse completely giving us a doctrine of soteriology, and it completely gives our assurance in the Lord, and also these 4 verses gives our how we are identified with our Lord Jesus Christ. Please look at the verses. Verse 1, it says that you have been raised up with Christ. It's talking about our past life. In verse 3, if you look at it, we can see that your life is hidden with Christ. It's talking about our present life. And in verse 4, it says that you will be revealed with Christ. It's talking about our future. Our past, our present, our future. We are completely united with our Lord. If we try to preach a gospel, a message of cross without resurrection is danger. In the same way, a Christian life without a Christ-likeness is also danger. Because we have to understand who we are. Though God has kept us on this earth, my dears, we need to remember that we are not belongs to this worldly people. Why? Even there are other passages. If you look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, says that for our citizenship is in heaven. Since we are united and connected with our Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we are saved, we are become the citizenship of the heavenly people. We are become a heavenly people, so we are no more belongs to the worldly people. I just want to show you one more passage from our Lord Jesus Christ and his prayer. He said it this way. Let's turn to John Gospel chapter 17, verse 14 to 16. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ prayed when he was on this earth. He said it this way to his Father, saying, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Why? Because even I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even I am not of the world. Jesus has been repeating the same word twice again and again, saying that, Father, please keep them safe. You protect them. Why? Because they are not of the world. Sometimes we wonder, we are in the world. How come that we are not of the world? We need to realize that though we live on this earth, though we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Why? Even Christ also said, even though he lived on this earth, but his focus and his purpose and his always his heart was longing for his Father. And he always spending his time with his Father, not of the world. Even Jesus is encouraging even each and every one of us that we should realize that, my dear brothers and sisters, though we live on this world, we need to remember that we are not of this world because we are the heavenly people. Though physically we are not living there at present, we are on this earth, but spiritually, mentally, we should be occupied with the heavenly things. Because you are a people who are identified with Christ. That's what Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, Paul is trying to encourage each and every believers. Sometimes you must be wondering, how is it possible, brother? How do I make sure that I am not of the world? Even today, the churches also, there is a huge struggle among the people, like who are the true believer, who are not of the, like acting like a believer. You know, even in the First John also said, some of the people, they pretend to be a believers. They pretend to be your fellow brothers and sisters. But after sometimes, they must have left the church. They must have left you. Then John said, don't worry about them. Though they were with us, but they are not of us. If they could have been of us, or they could have been belong to us, they could have remained. The question comes to, you know, this evening, my dear brothers and sisters. Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, that means we are not part of these worldly people. The moment we put our trust in the Lord, the moment Christ died on the cross, he rescued us from the worldly things and he brought us into his kingdom. That's why we are the heavenly people. If you look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, we read it in this way. What we read in Galatians 1 4, Paul says that our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll read it from verse 3 to 4. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Our Christ Jesus had died on the cross of Calvary, and he gave himself so that he can deliver us from this present world, so that we may become his children, and you and me become his children, and we may live a heavenly life. So the ultimate goal of God's plan to save you and me, when we look at this passage, Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 4, the heart of God is, and you and me may live like him. And you and me may live like Christ, not live like the worldly people anymore. We are not anymore the worldly people. We are the children of God. So we are called to live like our Lord himself. Because he is a perfect example for all of us. Since you and me are united with him, my dears, this passage is going to encourage and motivate each one of us at this time that we may be able to live like him. Now, let's turn to our attention to Colossians chapter 3 now. In four verses, I would like to show you five practical steps that will help each one of us to live like our Lord, to live like our Christ. Let's look at the first point. If you want to live like our Christ, my dears, if I ask you, do you have a desire or do you have a heart to live like your master, to live like your Christ? Here is the answer, how we can do that. The first practical steps that helps us to live like Christ, the first part of the verse, let's look at it. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, let's hold on that moment. The first practical steps that we learn from this verse, if you want to live like him, be close to him. Be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be close to the Lord so that you can be like him. Why do I say? If you look at the verse, it's here is Paul is saying, therefore, after Paul had talked about the doctrinal things in chapter 1 and 2, now he's trying to implement some practical things, a practical implementation, because doctrinal always have a practical implementation. Without a doctrine, there is no practical life. And without a practical life, you cannot have a doctrine also. Doctrine and practical life has to go together. Nowadays, many people try to preach only the doctrine, try to leave the practical. But some preach on practical, but forget the doctrinal. The doctrine should be the base. The doctrine also the more important with the practical life. So doctrine and practical has to go together. So what Paul is trying to say here, therefore, if you look at that word if, it looks like a conditional statement. But here in Greek, the original manuscript says, here Paul is not talking about a conditional statement, he's making a statement of fact or establishment fact, which was already accomplished statement that he's going to talk about it. What is going to talk about it? If you have been raised up with Christ. The beautiful verse. He says, if you have been raised. In the original manuscript, this verse has been used as aorist passive. You must be wondering why do I quoting the Hebrew things, because that gives a rich meaning. In Greek, sorry, not Hebrew, it's in Greek. In Greek, if something want to say it, the things which are happened and cannot be changed, or you cannot reverse it, it is impossible to change, then they try to use it in the aorist tense. That means in the past tense, they try to use it so that the incident should not be changed, or it cannot be moved, it cannot be reversed at all. It's impossible to reverse it. That's why here the word is used here is, you have been raised. And second, it's a passive. That means it's not your work, it's not your ability, it's not our ability that we are raised. Even the chapter 2, it says that, in chapter 2 verse 13, it says that when you are dead in your transgression and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. That means the meaning of this word is someone is causing you to wake up. Ultimately, it's God, the one who made you to be alive. Or in another simple translation, the word is which says this way, God is the one who brought you back to life. It's not our ability. My dear brothers and sisters, we are sitting here and we are saved not by our ability, not by my might, not by my work. It is purely on the grace of God. It's purely 100% work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who made you to be alive. So God has made us to alive with, not with our friends, not with the worldly things, not with the worldly people. He made us and he has given us life so that we may be connected with him. That's what we read it, right? If you have been raised up with Christ, with our Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, the Creator. In Colossians 1, he says that by him and for him, the entire universe have been created. We are being just a creatures. We are not worthy to be with him and to identify with him. We were the enemies. If you look at our life, my dear brothers and sisters, do we deserve to be identified with our Lord? How holy he is. But by his grace, that's what, please turn with me to Ephesians, just holding one moment. I just want to encourage you from the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to 6, that's what we read. what we read in Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression. Please underline that word. We were still lived as like enemies to him. We were not a righteous people. God is not considering us that we are the people who have possessing enough knowledge and we have everything, not because of our merit. What a beautiful song also we sang. We received the merit not based on our ability, my dears. It says that while we were yet sinners, when we were dead in our transgression, God made us alive together with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God has made us alive together with him. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly place. The simple meaning of that word is God, when he looked at us, we were dead in our sin and trespasses. Spiritually we were dead, and he made us alive and making us to sit next to his son. So that you and me can be more close to him and more know about him, so that we may be like him. What a wonderful privilege, my dear. Did I do anything? Did we do anything? Zero. We didn't do anything at all. It's completely 100% on the grace of God, my dears. He had separated us when we were in dead in sin and trespasses. He had given us a life so that we may be stay close to his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may know him and we may be able to live like him. That's the heart of the Paul. That's the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to live like Christ, we must close with him. Why? Because we are raised with our Lord and now we are seated with him. The more you stay close with the Lord, my dears, the second point, the practical steps will help you to be like Christ is, you know the heart of Christ. Have the heart of Christ. Have the heart of the Lord so that you can live like him. Why do I say that? Please come back to Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. The second part of the verse says that, since now you are raised up with Christ, what you can do? Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The first command written in this verse. Here Paul is saying, keep seeking. This is a active tense, talks about our work, what we need to do. The first part of the word talks about the Lord's work. Now the second part of the word is talking about what we have to do. Here, the meaning of this one is, you deliberately, you have to strive, you need to work hard. Or the meaning of this word is, you try to find something which you are lost. You are seeking for something very eagerly, attentively. Make all the effort to try to find out. You try to seek. What do we seek nowadays? What do we deliberately look for it? Are you, some of you are looking for an Amazon summer holiday offer? Are you looking for some Flipkart or some online shopping? Like a night 12 o'clock, the offer is about to release. Let's hold our mobile phone. Let's look at it. How eager we are, right? To try to find the worldly materials. My dears, if I ask you a question, do you deliberately want to seek the Lord, want to know the Lord? We are so much preoccupied with the worldly things. We don't have a time to seek the Lord because we are already preoccupied with seeking so many things. But here, please look at the verse, what Paul is trying to say. keep seeking you continuously, constantly, not just once. It's a continuously, it is a progress every day, every moment of your life. What you have to do? You try to seek, you try to be deliberately, try to be find out what? Keep seeking the things above. He's talking about, again, the upward, not the downward, not the worldly, not earthly things. He's trying to, again, taking our focus, our mind, our intention, everything towards upward, not the downwards. Because he knew that we still are occupied with the worldly and downside. That's what Paul is commanding each and every believers of the Colossae. And now, through the word of God, is even encouraging each one of us, saying, now change your focus upside, not downside. Please turn back. Stop looking down, my dears. Even many times, even in the churches, while pastors have been preaching, we still try to look right, downward. Better to look this than this. Paul is saying, you change your mind, you try to look upward towards heaven's side. More interesting, the next word. Even sometimes when people try to preach or try to talk about heavenly things, try to talk about how the heaven will be look like, the golden street, about the angels, how are we going to see the apostles and the Old Testament saints, spending time with them, having a good conversation. Do we get time to eat the tree which was forbidden in Garden of Eden? Can I get that living water? Right? But more interesting here, when we look at the verse, Paul is not taking our focus on the city which is on the above, but is taking our mind to the place, the one who reigns the city. Right? Please look at that verse 1 again. He says that keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Your concentration, your focus should be on Christ, not on the materials, not on the city, not on the people who are going to stay there, how the place are going to be. Your focus should be on the place who reigns that one. Our constant focus, we should be, think about it. We should seek our Christ. The problem of unable to seek Christ, because we are already are seeking so many things, so many worldly things, sometimes worldly materials, sometimes your jobs, sometimes your studies, sometimes your desires must have stumbling block for you to seek our Lord and our Christ. Here Paul is saying, you try to continuously, constantly, you look at him, and not only is stopping there, he's continuing that. Where Christ is, what he's doing? He's seated at the right hand of God. This is the exact word Paul is quoting from Psalm 110. Please turn with me that Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This is the exact word Paul is quoting here. Our Lord, after he conquered the death, when he risen from the third day, and when he went back to the Father place, God made our Lord Jesus Christ to sit next to him. And he has sat at the right hand of God. When we look at him, we can see the heart of Christ. How he is and how he rules. What he is doing and what he has done. You can look at his love. You can look at his patience. You can look at his righteousness. You can look at his just. We may be able to learn many things from our Lord's. that might change our heart, and Christ ought be will become like our heart, and our life will be like Him. That's what Paul is saying. You have to be close with Him. The more you are close with the Lord, you get to know the heart of God, our heart of Christ. We will try to know more about His character, and His character will impute on us, and our life will be changed, and we may be able to live like Him. If we want to live like Him, we need to be close with Him. If you are close enough, you can understand His heart. Have the heart. If you have the heart of Christ, the third practical steps that will help us to be like Christ is, you won't be changing your focus, right? Fix your eyes on Christ, my dears. Fix your eyes on Lord. The moment you get to know His heart, the moment you know that who He is and what He has been doing, our eyes won't be moved from Him. We will be constantly watching Him. Let's fix our eyes on Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say? Now please look at verse 2, Colossians 3, 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. In another way, we can say it. How can you seek Christ? By keep on thinking about Him. That's what the word says. This is the second command, and it's a continuous one. You have to keep on do it. In another way, we can say that this word, set your mind. You have to think. Or in another word, we can say this way. You make a pattern of your life to be preoccupied with the heaven. Because since God has raised you from the dead, from the worldly things, and He has renewed our mind. So in our mind, renewed mind, we should constantly, every day, make a habit or make a pattern of thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to continuously, want to deliberately want to seek Him, that means every day you need to, you know, switch your mind. You have to program your mind. You have to make effort every day that I should continuously focus on Him. I should fix my eyes on Him so that I may be more close and I may know about Him. Here Paul saying that you continue to do that. If you are setting your mind on the things above, then negative way is saying that don't set your mind on things on the earth. Why? The earthly things is not a permanent, my dears. That's what even in Corinthians, like Paul said it in this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul said it in this way, 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, we don't want to look at the things around the earthly things. Why? Because at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't want to set our mind on the things on the earth because I knew that Paul is saying, my dears, try to understand the worldly things, the worldly material, whatever you see in and around, it's all temporal. It's not going to come with you. It's not going to take you to heaven. It's not going to bring you close to Christ. That might separate you from the Lord. There is a danger that might hinder you to come close to the Lord. That might affect you to be like Christ. That's why you set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. One is, it's a temporal. Another, second thing is, Paul is encouraging not to set our mind on the earthly things because it's a sinful as well. The same passage, he says that, you know, chapter 2, verse 20, it says that, if you have died with Christ, Colossians 2:20, to the elementary principle of this world, why as if you are living in the world, Don't you submit yourself to the decree such as? What actually Paul is trying to say, you're already dead, so don't live like a worldly, don't become like a worldly people, don't be greedy to the worldly things, because they are sinful. They might affect our Christian life, our Christian journey. That's why don't set your mind on the things, on the worldly things. They are temporary, at the same time they are harmful. They are sinful. They might pull your legs. We need to be aware of that. That's why our eyes should be fixed on Christ, not on the worldly things. If you are close, you know his heart. The moment you know his heart, will he be able to remove your focus from him? I don't think so, my dear brothers and sisters. We will be, you know, fixed our eyes on him. We won't be trying to move from him, because one person, godly man, said it in this way. In Christ, we have everything, then why do we need anything? We have everything in Christ. He has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. That's our eternal, amen. That's not temporary. That won't be, removed from you and me. That has kept us in heaven. That we are going to receive it. So our focus should be fixed on Christ, not the things. Because we have everything in Christ Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you fixed, the fourth important practical steps that help us to live like Christ. Please turn to Colossians 3. Verse 3 now, let's look at it. What does it say? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That means the fourth practical steps that will help us. The moment we fixed our eyes, that we will be motivated to walk with the Lord. Walk with Christ. So that we may live like him. Not just theoretically talking. Practically, we may be able to live like him. We may be motivated, try to live like him. So that we have to walk with him. Why do I say, if you look at that verse, he says that, for you have died. Brother, we are still alive. Yes. How come that you are saying we are dead? Still we are sitting here and listening to you. Are you dead? So dangerous question to ask. Here is Paul is not talking about our physical death. It's a figurative word. That means he's talking about our spiritual death. There are so many verses also we studied that, we were dead to sin and to the world as well. We should not forget that. The concept here Paul is trying to emphasize, trying to encourage and motivate each and every believers to taking everybody close to Christ, separating from the world, trying to say, my dear brothers and sisters, you should realize that you are dead to sin as well as to the world. That's what Paul said in Galatians. I have been crucified to the world. Why don't we read that verse, please? Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The moment I put my trust in the Lord, the moment God raised me from the dead, is not only raised me from my sinful life, he raised me from the world. Here Paul is saying that now, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm not only dead to sin, I'm also dead to the world. I'm crucified with the world. No longer I. I'm completely away from the world. You are dead to sin and the world. Now, what else? How the dead person can walk? or how we can be walk with the Lord. We are not just dead to sin and the world. The next part of the word, beautiful verse. Please watch out. Please look at that verse in Colossians 3:3. It says that you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Your life is hidden. The word here, hidden, is used in the ancient time to try to keep a treasure to be protected from dangers and from harm, or someone can steal from it. Like even nowadays, people try to store, the valuable materials. In news, I hear, when we look at the news, sometimes it says, people kept jewels, valuable materials, but all sudden, one day, someone has stolen. So we must wonder, right? Try to keep something. The interesting fact in Kargil, during winter time, we used to come to south side, December to Feb. We never close our door. It used to be open, but no one will come inside our home and touch it. The story is different because since we are a Christian, they are all Muslims, so they don't come and touch any material from us. So that's the safer side. So if you want to protect your material, please welcome and store it in our place so that we can do something. But will you be able to leave your valuable items like that, just, without locking? Nowadays, I know that even you might try to leave your valuable items as it is, then your mobile phone. I know one brother, he tried to show some message. It took 5 minutes. I said, what are you doing? I'm trying to just open all the locks. I don't know how many locks they keep. God knows. Right? We try to preserve it. We try to keep it secret. We try to hide from others' men, not to see, not to look at it. That's the same word Paul is using here, not with a worldly connection. He tried to connect it with our spiritual life. What he said, my dear brothers and sisters, since you are raised with him and you are dead to your sin and the world, now you don't worry about your spiritual life. You don't worry about your salvation. You don't worry about your life because your life is secured in the hand of the Lord. That's what here says, that your life is hidden with the Lord. The beauty of that word is, that means you are completely, you are united and you are connected and you are complete in Christ. And also, you are secured in the hand of the Lord. It says that your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the same word our Lord Jesus also said it in John Gospel chapter 10 verse 28. This is what Jesus said it in John Gospel chapter 10 verse 28. We read it in this way. I give eternal life to them and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Your life and my life is secured. Because the hidden thing is not done by us, it is done by the Lord. He raised us and he kept us secure in his hand. He has united us with his son and he kept us secure. And this verse is talking about our eternal security, isn't it? No one can take away from the hand of the Lord. I knew that today it's a danger world. Even many places, people try to preach that you might lose your salvation. Because that's on your own. You have to attain salvation. That means you might lose it. But here, Paul is giving a clear explanation and giving us assurance that the salvation is not your hand that you may lose it. It's completely 100% work of the Lord and work of our Lord Jesus Christ that your life is secured. You no need to worry about your life. You no need to worry about your salvation, whether I may lose it or I may gain it, my dears, because it is safely secured in the hand of the Lord, more than the worldly treasure. Your salvation and my salvation is more precious than the worldly treasures. It's more precious than the silver and gold. While I was meditating this verse, my life is hidden with Christ. I was thinking, Lord, why? Do you know we have a human tendency? When we try to be more cautious and curious, we try to do a lot of mistakes. When we are normal, we don't do. For example, if someone gives their valuable item without telling it's valuable, you will be keeping it normal, right? If they say to you, please handle it carefully, then we try to do a mistake. Then our hand will shake. We think, oh, that means this is so precious, so I have to do something to hold on it, right? If you don't know it's precious, we don't bother about it. We will be ignored. Means we'll just be casual and formal. We don't worry and we don't lose also. But here God is saying that now you no need to think and worry about anything of your life. You just stay focused and you just walk with Him. Why? Your life is in the Lord's hand. You no need to worry it. You no need to hold on it. You no need to be more cautious, because if you are trying to be hold on your salvation, if you are trying to achieve your own salvation, you will lose it. It's completely work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He secured it. It's not in our hand. He keep it in God's hand. The more we are close, we know the heart. Let His heart be our heart. If we have the heart of Christ, our eyes will be fixed. We won't be moving. If our eyes are fixed, we try to walk with Him, because my life, I knew that it's secured in His hand. Now I'm connected with Him. I'm close with Him. I started walking with Him. The final fifth practical steps that will help us to live like Christ. Verse 4, we have a great hope in Christ, hope in the Lord. All the points concludes with that great hope. What is the hope? Let's look at verse 4. What do we read it? When Christ, when our Messiah, who is our life, in another word it says that He is your real life. He Himself is alive. Though Jesus Christ gives life, not outside, He Himself is alive. Let's look at John Gospel, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 25. John 11, 25, what we read. Jesus said to Martha, when Lazarus was dead, Jesus purposefully stayed back. He knew that Lazarus will die. The conversation and the story is so beautiful. In verse 1 and 2, when Lazarus is about to die, when he was sick, the message goes to Lord Jesus saying, Lord, whom you love, that time they didn't say my brother is sick. They said, Lord, whom you love is sick, please come and help. Jesus knew that he is going to die and he is going to raise him. He purposefully stayed another few more days. Then he gets the news, Lazarus is dead. Now Jesus is coming back. When he came back, now the language is changed there. Now Martha is saying, Lord, if you could have been here. She's not saying, whom you loved is dead. She said, my brother won't die. Jesus understands the situation. Now Jesus is trying to explain to her who he is. We too understand who he is. Look at verse 25, my dears. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Our Christ is not only a life giver, he gives himself, because he is life. Our life, hidden with him, and he is a life who is in us. Our Christ, who is our life, is revealed. That's the final appearance when Christ is going to return again. When our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, make visible, make known to everyone. When he comes back second time, the hope that we have, what is that hope? The verse Paul says that, then when our Lord Jesus Christ, when he makes appear to the entire world, when he comes back, you no need to be worried, because you also, you too who are raised, who are hidden with the Lord, also will be revealed with him in glory. That means God will cause you to be visible. This is also not our work. This word also is passive. We didn't do anything. It's 0% of our work. It says that you don't need to be worried. You won't be left alone. You won't be missed. In the time of his return, you are God making sure that you also will be revealed with him. The God will make you to be seen on the day when he returns. That's the great hope and the joy, the assurance that we have. That means if we have a great hope that when Christ is revealed and we also are going to reveal with him, are we still worried about the worldly things? Are we still concerned about the worldly things? Let's change our focus. Let's seek the Christ. Let's seek heaven on earth. Though we are on this earth, our focus should be on the Lord. Finally, I just like to share one verse and an example before closing it. My prayer and the prayer of the Paul, the desire should be our desires. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let this be our prayer, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not only crucified to the world. Paul said, I am crucified with the Lord. The life that I live now is no longer I live. It's not no more in my hand that I can live whatever I want. I want to live like Christ. I just want to close with a great man of God who served Lord in Burma in 1813, Adoniram Judson. Some of you must have heard about him. Even this man has inspired me a lot in my tribal ministry too. When he landed in India, he tried to go to Burma. William Carey said, it's so difficult, please don't go over there. But Adoniram said, the God who called me, the God who saved me, he called me to do his work. I want to do it. He traveled. The moment he sailed, the child, the first child, was 17 months old, died due to heat and malaria. Two of his wife died, and seven of 13 children died in Burma. And colleagues after colleagues. Lot of struggles. Lot of sufferings. People said, why do you live in such a state? Why don't you just leave and go? He said, the Creator, the Lord, came down this earth and died for my sin and risen from the dead. And he made me alive, and he had given me a life, though I'm not worthy of it, though I'm not deserved for it, but he has given me a life. What I can do for him is nothing. He stood firm. He tried to show Christ. After many years, the place got changed. Many people turned to be the Lord, and many people started worshiping the Lord. Initially, our life could have been a difficult or struggle. People must be mocking at us. People must be humiliating you. We must be facing a tough time. But we always don't lose our focus from the Lord. Let us be close to Him. Let's have a heart of our Lord. Let's fix our eyes on Him. And let's walk with Him. And we have a great hope and assurance in the Lord. And God may help and bless each one of us to live like Him. Amen.